Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, May 16th. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Katie's Crib. Woo, boy, this is an exciting episode. Last year, I sent out a tweet, and I said, what episodes should we cover next season in season 2? And the biggest thing we got was an episode featuring Shondaland moms. And so we bring to you today Camilla Luddington of Grey's Anatomy and Carla Souza of How to Get Away with Murder. You guys, this is, thank you so much, both of you, for being here.
Thank you.
For those of you out here who don't know, and there may be some moms that are moms and don't watch either of your show, although I recommend them highly, Camilla stars as on Grey's Anatomy as Jo, and Carla stars on How to Get Away with Murder as Laurel. I don't know the characters' last names.
Just got married. Oh, so great. Mine's Karev now after
Chambers.
Yeah, and then yours is?
Castillo.
Lovely. You guys, there's not really like a exact topic of this episode. We're just going to talk about highs and lows about being a new mom. You can read all the books. You can hear all the advice. But at the end of the day, you and your partner are the ones making the decisions and caring for a wonderful and amazing and often unpredictable freaking baby. So, guys, how has motherhood been treating you? Let's start with you. Carla, how has motherhood been treating you?
No, you please.
Okay,
please,
Camilla, how has motherhood been treating you?
I feel like, okay, so Hayden is currently 21 months.
Okay.
And so I feel like I've just gotten some sleep back. So I feel like I've normalized a little bit, because there was a point in the early days when she was newborn where I had never thrown up from being so tired, and I puked from being tired, like, oh, maybe about God. 5 times. Like, I've never felt that kind of exhaustion before. And so was now she, I feel like I'm out of it a little bit. Like, I feel like I'm like, oh, I can sleep.
So there's light outside the tunnel.
There's light.
Okay, good.
There's light.
I woke up three times last night. I'm like, yeah.
Carla, you have days. How old is your daughter?
Mine's about to turn 8 months in like 3 days or something. Yeah.
So you're really in
you're
it.
You're in the thick
I'm in
of it.
She started off, though, you know, kind of teasing me and sleeping 12 hours a night. And so I was like, bra, bra, bra. You know, everyone's like, how's the sleeping going? I'm like, oh, you know, yeah, it's a little difficult. But in my head, I was like, amazing. And then suddenly at month 4, she's like, ha ha. And now she's waking up at like 1, at 4, at 5. At, you know, it's ridiculous.
Is she teething?
She was teething, so I was like, oh, yeah. It's just the teething. And now I don't know, you know, she's...
I just feel like there's a tooth coming in every week.
They say the teething process is 2 years plus,
yes.
Isn't it? It's something like that. Because Albie's just getting his 4 molars right now, and he's 14 months. Great, that's so me. Motherhood, what we have in common, everyone's exhausted.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that mom brain is a real thing? Forgetting
for
stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you think that's because you're so tired?
Yeah, there's a lot of times that I start conversations with Matt and then I just don't even finish my sentence. I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to talk about this anymore, because I just
too much
can't
energy.
Be bothered to
yeah.
finish the
yeah,
sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys, on Katie's Crib, we cover a wide range of topics. And one of the things that's crazy that we obviously, this is all common between the three of us and we haven't talked about yet, is what was it like for you guys to be pregnant on TV?
Well, first off, I felt really, I felt lied to, quite frankly, about pregnancy. I thought that, like, you were this goddess and you felt amazing and you, I hated pregnancy more than you'll ever know.
Wow.
Like, I absolutely hated being
were you
pregnant.
Sick?
I had the worst morning sickness that didn't stop. I mean, like, I think I didn't know until maybe I was almost close to, like, 6 months pregnant that you could take something for being sick. So I thought, like, there's no way that you're allowed to take something.
The lollipops or whatever, right? The
oh, no. I mean, you can take, like, a drug to help you.
The
lollipops didn't help me.
Yeah, there's a prescription that you can get from your gynecologist if your morning sickness is debilitating in such ways.
Yes, and I mean, I was, like, I remember that I hadn't announced my pregnancy yet, and I was in the parking lot of Whole Foods and I threw up in the middle of it. On Matt was actually like wearing like open toe shoes. He was wearing some flip flops situation. I threw up on his feet. And so for me, I was like, when we wear scrubs, when we like wear the scrub outfit with the in the OR, it gets really hot under the light. Mm. So I almost fainted one day. Mm. I puked into a trash can nearby in a scene.
So people found out you were pregnant.
So it was very attractive. It was very attractive. It was easy.
Yeah, people just thought I was hungover, which I thought, you know, I've still got the cool factor. I was like,
yeah, everyone thinks I've got this crazy, amazing social life.
And because the show is supposedly set in Philly and we're, you know, dying of heat in L.A. with our coats and our jackets and our, oh, it's so cold outside. I was dripping. Yeah. And everyone's like, are you okay? And you know those little fans that they bring us?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, Carla needs a fan every second. And so I had a fan, but Liza was the first one that looked at me, and she's like, "You're pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know you're pregnant."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
"Do you guys ever go back and watch the episodes where you were pregnant? Because I've talked about this before on the podcast. I can't. I look so freaking pregnant.
I don't want.
I mean, it's really? Just so. And I remember feeling, you know, there is the whole thing of the camera adding 10 pounds and all that kind of stuff, but. I mean, I look just giant. Like I cannot bring myself to watch those episodes. It's not a glow, is what
right.
I see.
No,
that
there's
is not
no
a glow.
No.
Did it piss you off when people would say that to you? Because I hate that when people are like, you have the glow, the pregnancy glow. And
am
I was
allowed
like,
to swear on this or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I actually wanted to release a book called Where the Fuck's My Glow? Like, that's what I talk about. Like, that was the book that I was going to do. And I probably will still do it after, like,
please
next
do. We all need it. We will
and
post about it on Katie's
Crib. I just wanted to be, like, sweaty on the cover, like, disgusting over a toilet because I said, there is no glow. But you know what? For me, watching scenes back on Grey's, it's not the same because we're in scrubs. It's like being in PJs in a scrub coat. And yeah. It's like, it's nice. Different. You guys have to be in like nice outfits.
Yeah. No,
like
I
leather
would
quit. Pants.
Oh,
like, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No. That would have been horrible.
Heels. Quinn was in maternity jeans, which was great.
Love them.
And boots, which was fine. And like so many cardigans. It's insane.
Right.
What did you have to wear?
Just cardigans, bags, pillows, case files, you know, whatever it was.
But still in cute outfits, I'm sure.
Still in cute outfits. Yeah. I still haven't seen it though, so I don't know. But one person did call me. My uncle from New York called me and said, hey, I'm no genius, but he is a DP though. And he's like, they're doing all close-ups on you. What's up? You know? And
really?
I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
The only one that noticed from not even knowing, because I felt so bad. I hadn't released the info to my family either. Like, no one even knew. So he's the only one that clocked that after Laurel had given birth, then suddenly Laurel started gaining weight. It was like, wait
so your
a
character, right? Your character had the baby before you had
before
the baby.
So
they
I almost
wrote,
had like a.
They, did they write it in? They knew
no.
That.
Oh, so I am such a method actress. No,
yeah.
That Laurel got pregnant. I was like, I need to, you know, like husband of mine. I need to get pregnant too because my character was
so
pregnant.
I could really
yeah,
feel
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
No, oh, so I really, I my character was pregnant.
Your character was pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And my character gave birth.
Wait, so
in Joe Morton Papa Pope's. Basement,
so
like
now,
chained to a mattress and a wedding dress,
I
just
have
in
a
case you were curious.
Wait, so I have a question because I've wondered this as an actress too. Mm. Okay, so were you pregnant when you were doing the birth scene?
Yes.
So were you pushing?
Yes. So
that makes me feel like
yes.
You would trigger something.
No,
in your
yes.
Body.
So Shonda was very, very careful about that. And we had extensive conversations about... I think I shot that scene at the beginning of September and Albie was born October 2nd. So we're talking like I'm already in the window like Albie's fully cooked for me to be doing any sort of scene where I'm pushing. So They had a OB on set all day with me. I was not allowed to push. I was allowed to like fake it with my face. But Shonda wrote it in a way where Quinn is sort of under drugs while she's pushing. So it wasn't like
I
was actually bearing
really.
Down.
Yes.
But it was actually a huge, huge thing in Shonda's head about consciously not having Quinn push so that I in any way, shape, form could affect my actual pregnancy.
Right.
But it was really weird because Quinn, Guillermo Diaz, who played Huck, pulled a bloody baby out of Quinn and
oh my God.
They had that was a doll. And then they had twins that they covered in jelly and
cream cheese.
Yeah. And they brought the baby. I had a blanket over my knees, and they brought that baby out. And the real baby started crying because the baby was like, this sucks. And I actually started like sobbing because it hit me in that moment that at some point, this is going to be my real vagina.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a real baby, not covered in jelly and cream cheese, but like blood.
Yeah.
And
that would be very emotional.
Yeah, I cried. A lot. I was having like a whole thing, and I'm sort of embarrassed. Like, I don't like to do that in front of people, so that was weird.
I had to birth my premature baby on the storyline. It was 7 months, and I was in an elevator stuck, and I had to also have contractions, but I was already 5 months pregnant. And so same thing. They were like, oh, you know, don't push as much. But of course, like I was I didn't want to, you know, be bad. So I didn't want women to be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts a lot more.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I really wanted to go there. But I also kind of did, you know, not the pushing from like the stomach, but something above, kind of like chest, neck, like all that stuff. And they did it so that I passed out. And then the baby, because it was premature,
that's good.
Came out.
You need to pass out.
But I didn't want to see the baby. I didn't want to look at the doll because it was like a little too much for me. So I kind of was. Then they had a stand in to come in and have the leg so that Viola Annalise Keating's character grabs the baby through the.
Did you tell them that you didn't want to see the doll?
Yeah.
Oh, good for
you.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, I'm good.
How was it like for you guys coming back to work after giving birth?
So for me, Hayden was 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty. How old?
Oh, nice. 3 and a half. But you.
Yeah,
what
yes.
Was you?
8 weeks.
I mean.
Oh, man.
When I went back to work. Yeah. Eight weeks.
Always thought of you when I was like, at this point, Katie's going back.
Yeah, I think I don't remember it, to be honest. No, I think you just sort of go to a deep place. I mean, again, and we're so fortunate that it was a place that, you know, I had the other half of my trailer with my nanny and my baby, and it was like I couldn't have felt more supported. I mean, they like built a set of stairs leading up to my trailer because they didn't even want me going up like regular trailer steps. I had like a deck outside of my – I mean, it was unbelievable.
Like an elevator.
And they started me off really slow, you know, like the scenes were very easy and all these kinds of things. And also, I think, had anything gone sort of – outside of the realm of normal in my labor, or if I was having some serious postpartum depression, like Shonda was very open, like, you need to tell me if you're not. But it was, you know, it was the scandal final season. It was like,
oh my God.
And they did a great job of keeping me out as long as they could, but I had to get back in the storyline.
Right.
So you guys felt pretty good when you went back to work. I felt like an insane person.
I felt ready. I felt ready to like get back into it, but and I had made the conscious decision to stop breastfeeding because I did see the experience of other girls like having to run back to their trailers and do it, and they were game for doing it, but for me, I just thought that it was like kind of, it would be a little, I just knew my personality that I would find it kind of stressful no matter how supported I would feel.
Yep.
So I decided to wean her at about 4 months. And so that was nice.
Was she on set with you?
No, she was never on set with me. And luckily, because we have a bigger ensemble than you guys and you guys. Mm-hmm. So I would only, you know, we're only sometimes working 2 days, 1 day a week, 3 days a week.
Good Lord, that is a dream.
So it's nice. Yeah, it's really rare that we work all 5 days.
And is
it's
your daughter really on rare. Set with you?
Yeah, so she comes whenever I can, because I don't trust anyone to drive her yet.
Yeah, it's super.
That's a thing.
It's a thing. So even though I live an hour away and I drive an hour, I'm like, no one's going to drive that freeway with my daughter except for my husband or me, you know? So
I think that's a great boundary and a great you're setting yourself up for what feels comfortable.
So I was like, okay, so whenever I know I'm going to finish when we think we know we're going to finish at, you know, 6 or before 6, then I bring her because her bath time is 6:30. So I didn't want to mess up the bath. So at first I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to decide when to? And then it was very clear. It's like, I don't want to mess up the nighttime routine. So whenever I have like a 10 p.m. call, the finishing 10 p.m. wrap, I let her stay at the house with the nanny. And if not, the nanny comes. And it's funny because the nanny had gone to, I don't know, some other studios at some point in her life at like Fox or whatever, where they have like green areas and like, you know, this beautiful like studio. And she comes here and it's just all cement
and
it's like a frying pan. And she's like, what is this? And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. I know that you thought Hollywood was more than this.
That's really funny.
Carla, your character, Laurel, is a new mom, too. Mm. So I did a similar thing. So you're acting with a baby.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's so hard because they let the baby cry and still do a scene. And my mom instinct comes in and I'm just like, somebody call cut. I'm like, cut. You know, like this baby needs his mom or this baby needs a, you know, something. It's so hard for me to, you know, and even in the scene when they need to cry, you know, it's just like, I think they brought, she brought, the mom brought the nose Frida for her to, you know, she sees the nose Frida and she's like, ah, and she starts crying. We have a girl play Christopher. So a girl, twins play a boy. But it's really hard for me because then, like, let down, I start having, like, milk.
Yes, I had the same thing.
Did you feel that same? Well, that's the other reason why I wasn't excited to continue breastfeeding is because, like, leakage happens on set, and those scrubs are very thin.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, we have a lot of babies on our show, like, that we're birthing or whatever. So, for me.
You're done. Quinn had a baby also, and I had such a strong, I feel so bad saying this, but I really had such an adverse reaction to the babies. I mean, hate is a strong word, but I did not like the babies.
Because it's not your baby.
Because it's not my baby.
Yeah.
And so I was pissed. I was like, I'm spending all day with these other babies. Now this is my job and this is what I'm getting paid to do. And this is part of Quinn's story. So I would really like dig deep and like, I hope my acting isn't garbage in the last season. And it seems like Quinn is in love with her babies, but like Katie was not in love with those babies. Yeah. And they were great babies. Nothing wrong with those babies, but I just was like, no, today's one of the days where the babies are going to be around all day. I hate those babies. I don't want to be around them. Like, they're so cute and everything, but it just makes me miss
your baby.
It just bringing up to the surface again that my baby's like sitting not in the trailer and I'm not with the baby.
Oh, that's so funny. I haven't thought of that before. That makes perfect sense. So.
How have you guys navigated the balance between, you know, being in the public eye and sharing personal, private stuff about your baby?
Do you post about your baby?
What do you guys do?
I don't really know about
it. I don't post any pictures of her face. Mm-hmm. It was something that Matt and I, my fiance, we spoke about very early on. I barely post any pictures of Matt, too. I mean, Justin Chambers is on my Instagram way more than my real fiance. Mm-hmm. We're super private. Yeah. So I don't know what, like, fans are like with you guys, but, like, fans for Grays, I love them. They're super passionate. But there are times when, like, we do get filmed in public by them or, like, they snap your picture, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't, it's like kind of whatever, but when I have my kid with me, that's when I get really paranoid. Right now, I do have like a paranoia about her appearing on social media. Mm. And I'm not exactly sure why, but I feel like I can control her privacy right now. And so that's been a little difficult. I do get sometimes paranoid being out with her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, but the fans didn't know I was married. Fans didn't know that
I know you have been like the great crypt keeper. I'm telling you, you got a secret. Yeah, Carla
never,
will keep it.
I had never posted about my husband. I had never, I still don't. And as well, when if I ever post with my daughter, it's sort of with, you know, she has like a pineapple on instead of her face or whatever it is, you know, although that looks a little freaky. So I haven't done it that much. And it's the same thing. It's really weird. I'm a very trusting person in real life with people that I meet. But I am not trusting at all on social media. Like, I can't open. I guess it's my insecurity of feeling like you'll hurt me, or even if you have a bad thought about her. Like, I don't want that in the in the world. It's like this. Maybe it's just like.
Yeah.
And I remember this story about this kid suing their parents because their whole lives were put in social media without their consent, and how they won against their parents, saying like, you put my life on social media and I had no say about it. And I remember thinking, that's such an interesting case, and it really hit home with me with my niece and nephew, who once were like, why don't you post about us on social media? And I said, look, right now you're like, yay, you know, I want people to know this is my aunt. And I said, but if one day your aunt makes a mistake, or say people don't like something I do, then you're going to become their target of, haha, your aunt did this. And I don't want that. So right now it's positive, and that's what you want. But when it becomes negative, because I have been a part of the negative side.
Me too.
So I'm like, I want to protect you from like there being the least amount of people that know your target that they can hit.
Do either of you have private accounts for them?
No, I don't have anything. No.
Do you guys just you just straight up email, text a photo to your family?
Updates? What's up?
How
what's
are the
WhatsApp?
Fans?
WhatsApp? What's up? In England, it's a lot of WhatsApp.
And also, you're both foreigners.
Well, so not like from
the,
here.
Yeah, yeah, so the WhatsApp is like a big thing that we do not take enough advantage of here.
Yeah.
You WhatsApp's don't, you just amazing. Text, right?
Well, I WhatsApp to my friends who don't live in America.
Right, right.
But no, I just text.
Yeah. But hey, I have a friend who's an actress who's literally posting, like, her child has a hashtag. And I also think, like, I think that's so, it's fun. Like, I could never do it, but my friend, like, posts about every single milestone and things. And I'm getting to know her daughter without ever being with her at all. But I also think there's, like, you know, Viola posts about Genesis mm-hmm. all the time, mm-hmm. goes with Genesis to red carpets. So at the same time, I'm there's no... It's just each person is comfortable with a specific thing.
And this is what's comfortable for you right now. Like, exactly. Who knows? Yeah. It has to be. For me, I'm doing the same thing you guys are doing. I don't post about Albie either, but Albie does have his own private Instagram account.
With your family. That's so adorable, though. They
but it's like, I don't know. Like, how is Albie himself going to feel about it when he looks at it? Because right now, Adam runs the account and... only speaks as if it's from Albie, so it's just it's Adam's. It's Adam loves to really have a good time and make a lot of jokes out of it. So I'm not really sure.
But it's private. Look,
oh, it's private. It's only best friends and grandma and my mom and whatever. But I think we have to remain, or I have to remain fluid about it, like sort of how Viola's doing it. Like, what if, you know, our kid is 8 and you are the voice in the Disney movie and your kid wants to go see it. And
yeah, I think when she gets older, I'll feel better about it. Right now, she's a baby. And I have like one thing that motherhood has brought up for me is that like I didn't think of myself as an anxious person ever. And now my anxiety is like through the roof as a parent. Like it's bad. So I think with that, like that element of trying to control, I feel like when she's 8, like I'll be a little more seasoned as a mom. Maybe I'll relax a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it'll get worse.
We have this doula the doula I used when she was on Katie's Crib, but she calls it your mommy muscle is being developed, like, and made to be stronger, you know? So yes, hopefully by 8, we will have been 8 years in of using this muscle that we've never used before, which brings me to, you were talking about anxiety. That's not really an exciting discovery, but like as a new mom, what are the new discoveries you've made about yourself or your child?
Oh, wow. Well,
like, for example, you're now an anxious person and you weren't before.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like super personal, though. It's like, I don't know if anyone listening here is like lost a parent, but I lost my mom when I was 19. And what I didn't realize is that having a kid. Sorry, it makes me emotional.
Oh, no, don't be sorry.
But it's good to talk about. Sorry.
No, please don't apologize. It's really important. We've had a couple women, Casey Wilson, it brings up June Raphael. We had his guests on the first season. They both also lost parents. And I think there's really something about being a mom, cyclical life.
Yeah. Like it's interesting because I feel like I'm going to die early all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a strange thing to like experience. Mm-hmm.
You just always feel like you'll miss out on her life.
Yeah, like I almost feel like I'm not going to be there for her wedding.
Yeah, you know? For big milestones in her life that you will miss and things that you didn't share with your mom.
Yeah. So it's like I have that anxiety and I want to talk about it even though it's hard because I feel like there may be other people listening that like have that experience.
There
like when I was growing
is.
Up, like I felt like I had it, like even though my mom passed away, I felt like I had really dealt with it well. And then what motherhood does is it makes you feel like you have this new relationship that you love so much in your life and that something is going to go wrong.
Oh.
So for me, I'm like, well, because my mom died very young when she was 43. Oh. So for me, I feel like I'm not going to make it to 43 or those milestones that she missed out on, I'm going to miss out on. And so for me, it's been this crazy discovery of like.
Yeah, postpartum anxiety is a real thing.
Yeah.
I think when you've lost a parent, I can't even. But I can tell you in the ways that I can relate, I definitely drive my car and my kid is in the back. And I think about somebody hitting us. I think, and I never used to think things like that.
I think about how
this child is like. Responsible for my happiness in some ways, and I'm so anxious about something bad happening to me or something bad happening to him.
Yes,
and I totally think about like Like, for example, this is so ridiculous, but like I started going to the gym this week and I haven't been working out in a very long time. And it's only because I'm like, if there's anything I can do that can control my health in any way, shape, form to be there a little bit longer for my kid, I would like to do it.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I'm super scared about dying.
Yeah.
And
I had these nightmares. I remember when she was literally a couple of weeks old, I would dream that the house started, you know, catching on fire and that I didn't make it to the crib,
right,
or that the nanny and I were walking and suddenly a car would pass and hit the pram, like hit the stroller. Or I had all of these visions that I would have never thought that I had, like, of this, just, you have no control.
Yeah.
This is a thing. It's like, we grow up, we live life thinking we actually have control over things, and we have absolutely no control in this situation. So that's where it's like, it's terrifying. Like, she gets a little rash, or she starts, at one point my daughter started like having trembles like when she was feeding. And I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, she's having a seizure, like what's gonna happen, you know? And it was terrifying to think, you know, it happens, like all these little kids that end up, you know. Anyway, it's just it's a very anxious place to be,
right?
But I also feel like, for me at least, I was already an anxious person, and I thought I had self-love until my daughter, when she first looked more like my husband, I was ecstatic. I loved her so much. And suddenly she started looking like me, and I didn't know how to relate to that.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So that started showing me how I still needed to love myself in a way, because it was so weird when she started looking like me. I was like, oh, no. Like, how, that's so awkward and weird. And I thought, wow, I have a lot to process with how, when I was like a baby and the little me, and the little me still inside of me. That's why I feel like, you know, having her has helped me love myself more too.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was
They're all, I mean,
yeah,
they, I really truly believe they're here to teach us way more than we can teach them.
I definitely feel more self-love after having a kid. Yeah, I feel like I'm a lot more forgiving of like the way I look or my body. I've like relaxed so much more. The pressure on us, regardless of any show that we're on, because this doesn't actually happen on Shondaland where you're asked to be skinny, but like it just happens in our industry anyway, regardless.
Yeah, time,
but I feel so much less pressure to be quote unquote pretty or anything, because I realize that I don't want her, because we have a habit, I think, as women, of saying like, oh, I'm so fat, or I feel so fat. And I just think that there's going to come a point where I have to really watch what I'm saying, because I don't want her to have any of the insecurities
that
I have.
My husband actually has that. He constantly looks at himself in the mirror, and he'll be fine me saying this, but he's like, oh man, I've gained so much. And I started saying, that's not gonna be in our house. That's not gonna happen in our house.
Right. So I have goosebumps right now, and I'm so, and you know, I have a son, and it is just as important. I mean, you know, having eating disorders and things like that run in men and women, and that is very true. But it's funny because I'm like sitting here being like, yeah, for the daughter, like the daughters, it's a
it's a thing.
It's a crazy thing in Hollywood. I have a almost 13-year-old niece, and she was here visiting, and I was shocked at myself at how many horrible jokes I make about myself and my body, and like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna eat that and be like a fatty, like say dumb shit like that. And like, my sister-in-law like covered her ears at one point, and I was like, oh my god, like I can't say shit like that in
words
front of anyone's
so much
kids.
Power so like, much power. Even when my mom sees you know my daughter, and sometimes she's like gordita in Spanish, you know, you say like little fatso, you know. And I had to say like, I'm sorry, those little
so
endearing
like
terms,
little chunky or
little
like
chunky,
little
chunky monkey or whatever,
like,
my sister calls her daughter
so
chunky
funny.
monkey. But I do think that our words have so much power.
They do.
So I don't want to be like, oh, you're so stubborn, or oh, you're a good girl, or you're a bad girl. Like, I don't want to be pronouncing these truths onto her. And I, you know, and I generally like don't want, I want to steer away from that. And also, self-love is something that I need to teach her, because she's going to see how I teach
modeling
myself.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now, the Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Is there anything that stands out as being the most challenging aspect of motherhood? And has it evolved? And maybe we just hit that on the head already.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, I have, like, personal anxiety, like, about all that stuff. And it's kind of interesting because I have met other people who have lost parents, and they are like, wait, you feel that exact way, too? Like, you think that you're going to pass away early and not have those milestones? And it's just, it's so interesting to me. But I think patience, like Hayden started to almost get to terrible twos, and I'm amazed at my own patience, which is why I don't think I could have been a mother younger, because I don't think I would have had the patience. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be 35 next month. And I think it's like the perfect time for me, because she's doing this thing where she's like throwing herself back, yep. And it's like she could knock herself out, and she's kicking, and it's like over. She wants like chocolate or whatever it is. And my patience is like amazing.
Strong. Good for you.
But it's not always. It's
no,
not
but
always.
That's a huge like, win.
Yeah. I become like zen. And then afterwards I say to my fiance, like, is she kidding? Is she fucking kidding? But with her, like, I think patience is something that I'm really learning.
I'm not.
I don't know how it worked, seeing as you're both actresses, but I don't know if you had a fear of, like, there was a place in my head for, you know, me as, like, a single sexualized object in this industry, and suddenly,
oh yeah, that's
is there a place for me as a mother? And I was terrified. I was thinking, the second I become a mother, I'm gonna become disposable. Is that how you
or you're not hot anymore?
Yeah,
no, you're just not like, you're hot. Not the sex object. You can't get cast as a
so
hot
therefore
girl anymore.
I'm like, I won't get jobs. I won't, you know, no one's interested in working with me because I have, you know, I have a
baby.
And so that was a huge, huge fear for me, especially when, you know, I just went to a meeting with someone to do some branding opportunity, and bless her, it was a woman telling me, but she's like, oh yeah, we didn't pick so-and-so because she posts a lot about, you know, and this is in Mexico, FYI, she posts a lot about her being a mom, and you know, that doesn't go with our brand. And so in my head, I'm like, oh my God. And of course there are other brands that goes a lot with. And so then, you know, it's give and take, but of course I take that and I think, wow, especially in Mexico, still there's so many actresses that come to me and they're like, how, you know, it doesn't happen where you think that you can be a mom and still work and still, you
be
know,
sexy as fuck and consider that for your roles.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you, you both are fucking gorgeous and sexy as hell. I'm so glad, but I like never played those parts. So I feel like I just like never even had to fucking worry about it. And like literally as you're sitting here, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I've never had to do that. That sounds horrible. Oh my God.
It's true.
The day after I came back from having, you know, my daughter, The day, the first day back here, I had a sex scene with Frank.
Okay? Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, taking off all the clothes. No, and I was just like, are we serious here? Yeah, that happened. And then I, you know, I was like, I don't want to look at what happened. I haven't seen the episode. I'm just like, whatever.
Did you have to be in like lingerie or something?
Yes.
Wow, really? That's mean.
Yes, but I'm sure they DP'd, they edited it in a way that's like showing a thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I hope.
I actually like my body more now after having a baby than I did before.
Yeah, you look.
Me too.
Like my
me
belly
three.
Yeah. Me too, but not like I would. Like I got completely naked on Californication one whole season when I was like 20s. I would.
Good for you.
I would be terrified to do it now, but. So, like, I feel like TV-wise, I don't want to get naked. But real life, in me and my body, I'm like, I feel sexier.
Yeah. You know, what I've noticed is just the issues that I used to have with my body. Like, I used to hate my ass and thighs. And it's like, I kind of like my booty now, and now I just hate my stomach. So it's just transferred to, like, a new place. And, like, that's what's exciting to me is, like, my – it is true. Your body changes.
Yeah.
And – I just think it's interesting to look at, like, even in a sort of scientific way, like, how your body has shifted to hold things in different ways that it used to not. It's really crazy.
I think it's bizarre for probably people like us in our experience, too, because we can literally go back and watch. I can go back and watch 7 seasons ago and what that looks like to now. And so you see the gradual change anyway. And it's just, it is bizarre.
So bizarre. Do you guys, this is so scandal right now, but are you guys good at going with your gut? Very Olivia Pope. It was always about like, trust your gut. And I think that's a lot with motherhood. People are always telling me, just trust your gut, trust your instinct on like what to do, on making decisions for your family, even though you might feel pressure one way or another because there's a lot of mommy pressures out there.
I think there's a difference though, because like sometimes my gut is just, I'm being reactionary to, for example, like if she's starting to cry in public, I'm like, what do people, my instant reaction is people are going to think I'm a bad parent. And then I have to like breathe that out and then just be like, okay, she's a 7-month-old, like she's crying. Like, sorry, you know?
They cry.
And so they cry. And so then after letting go of that instant gut reaction, which I would say is the non-healthy one, then I go to, okay, what's my gut in the sense of like, what does she need? What's going on with her right now? So then that's like the real gut, you know? Because there's like, I feel like the false gut of like that instant reactionary kind of like, ego reacting rather than, you know, even with the nanny, I feel like there should be a romantic comedy about the relationships between a mom and a nanny, because that's just like with my friends, that's our constant conversation of like, you know, say I'm whatever, bathing my, you know, my daughter and she's just about to leave, but she wants to come and be there because she loves my daughter so much. But it's like my time with my daughter and I just want to be like, please leave me alone. Like, you've been with her all day, okay? Like, let me bathe her.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if I, am I crazy if I need to approve all the toys that come in the house? Because she buys her, you know, these like nice toys. And sometimes, you know, she texts me a picture and there's a toy that I didn't see, that I didn't know, that it's in my house already with my daughter. And right now it's a toy, but then tomorrow it's going to be whether a movie or, you know, something that I'm not like filtering. And then I'm like, am I a psychotic controlling mother? Or
you're
am
not.
I going to, you know, all these things that, you know, that are happening with my caregiver, you know, the number one caregiver, which I absolutely like adore. But I do think that that gut, it can be sort of confusing as to what gut we're following.
Mm. How about you?
I think my first, I didn't grow up with a nanny, and I think it would have helped if I'd had one when I was picking a nanny, because my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
So was mine.
So it was like the idea of someone coming into our home and watching our kid was like absolutely bizarre and terrifying to me. Did you? I don't know if you had that.
I grew up with a stay-at-home mom but 2 nannies. So I was, I was.
So you had the experience. Yeah, and, still. And so I really hated the idea. And picking a nanny, I remember crying about a lot before it happened and just being like, well, how would I know? Like, how, you know, and that was something that I decided I would go on gut instinct about. And we interviewed a few people. And I remember feeling like I remember telling one nanny that I was interviewing, she was asking if I was still breastfeeding. And I remember saying that, you know, I was going to stop at 4 months when I went back to work. And I remember her sort of lecturing me on why I shouldn't.
No, bye-bye.
And I was like, okay, no. So I was realizing, like, in my gut, like, what kind of person I needed.
Mm.
And and I went with my gut on our nanny, and I absolutely adore her. But I think there are times when like your gut reaction to something is like, you know, you're coming from a place of anxiety or whatever it is, or being judged. And then there are times when I think that like I do definitely trust my gut.
Are there resources and apps and things like that that like you could never live without?
It's funny, but like Headspace, it has nothing to do with motherhood.
It has everything to do with motherhood. Motherhood is a mental game.
You know,
so you are a bit, or you're a meditator, you need to take a few minutes for yourself.
Minutes. Well, I even think that breastfeeding, I'm still breastfeeding and I do it maybe four times a day where I'm pumping. And I'm like, what a great excuse. I have like a justifiable excuse to just sit down and
you're
not
forced
have to.
To.
And I'm
yeah.
forced to four yeah. times a day. I never had that before. I would never have to sit down for at least 15 to 20 minutes and just breathe. Like, it has centered me so much to keep breastfeeding my daughter in the sense that, like, whether she's at work or I'm pumping, I've, like, forced myself to have that space be a space of just nothing
chill.
Else.
Zen.
Just chill, yeah. So that app has helped me. Also, like, I don't know, Wonder Weeks, you know, the leaps that she's in.
I've been using Wonder Weeks also a lot. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's really cool. We can put it in the crib notes, but it's Wonder Weeks. It's a really cool app all about you enter in your baby's due date, not the date they were actually born, and it will let you know when their brain is actually having like huge months of development versus months of sort of chill time. Because if you're noticing, for example, your baby's acting like, oh my God,
fussy,
I have
clingy.
No idea who this baby is. He's completely changed his personality in the past month. it will tell you scientifically at this stage of his life what is happening in his brain and what he is currently learning, why he's acting that way. And I have found it to be very accurate, actually.
Yeah. Mine's
like,
going
shockingly
through a
sleep
right now, and she's like, I don't know who she is. And it's
mine's going to go through a storm over the holidays, and I am so fucked.
Oh, no!
I have plane rides. I am not sunny. I am going to be in a straight-up fucking rainstorm.
Oh,
it
no.
shows you the dates through rainstorms or sunshine.
Oh,
and I'm in a big
like a
month of hurricane
oh,
over the holidays, which sucks.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Can you guys let me know if you think of anything or like books that really you
lean
found?
In.
Oh, lean in is another.
I mean,
so you're really doing
audiobook.
Some like self work on like.
Yeah, it's more about me.
I think that's an amazing place to start. I have been saying and not doing for months. I should really get my meditation practice back on because if I want to be the best mother I can be, then it means I have to be making a conscious effort to be the best version of myself I can be for my child. Mm-hmm. And That's so much easier said than done. I get it. Like, I mean, obviously I'm here, I'm talking about it, and I still haven't meditated. So, like,
yeah, no.
But I do think there is something to that about really trying to, because they're just going to model your behavior. You can read every single parenting book, but like, if you are doing the work on yourself to try to be a better version. I mean, I think.
Better version, yeah. Know. There's one, it's for more when your kids are like a lot older, but still it's very much about like yourself.
I haven't read
you
it.
Know.
Yeah. I have a big pile.
You do. See, I just had like a couple books when I was pregnant and then I just cool Jessica Capsule.
Brilliant, but that's huge.
Yeah. She has four kids, she knows.
It's how are you guys on the mom circle situation? Like I have, thank God, we had Carrie on Scandal you just mentioned.
Yes.
You had...
I had all of them, everybody. Ellen, Jessica, Sarah,
and we were
Katarina.
Just talking about Carla. You're really... I mean, you're Liza pioneering. Has a
I
kid, but Liza's
one
kid's
on the
older.
Show. Yeah, yeah. So it was. I had a moment where I was trying to be that super mom of pumping on set, like I was telling you, you know, during scenes, and I wasn't asking. I'm really bad at asking for what I need. So that's, again, something that I needed to work on. It's like, okay, what is it that I need? And I remember I spoke to Shonda actually about it, and I said, you know, I'm feeling a lot of anxiety and like a lot of shame and a lot of things that I shouldn't be feeling, I'm sure. And so it's just talking to someone who kind of has a different – we didn't have, for example, every set is a little bit far away from my trailer. So all they did was create a space within the set so that I wouldn't feel like I needed to go so far away and stop the production for so long. And I also had heard a few directors being like, oh, man, not again. Like she has to go pump – like, oh, no. And even a female director saying like, are you all pumped out? And I was like,
oh, my God,
oh,
really?
My goodness. And so everyone would be like – are you done yet? Or, hey, how long do you have to, how many times do you have to pump a day? So all these questions of very good-natured people that were coming up so that all day I felt like so much, so much embarrassment and shame of all that I had to do. And so I suddenly started realizing like the terms that needed to be used instead of, hey, do you want to go pump? It's, hey, 10-3 code words, you know, that we talked about on set. And
that's
ADs.
Great that you like figured that out quickly in yourself that you were having like
that's amazing to know to ask for that already.
Yes,
because I was joking that already on Grays we're like we're pumping, we pump 5 times a day.
Yeah, I'm sure when you have like, more moms, I'm
how
sure
are you guys asking for help? Like you brought that up about asking. I think so much about motherhood is getting really honest about what you need and saying it and not being embarrassed or ashamed that you don't like it a certain way or you can't do it all yourself. I think women are constantly like, I got it, we can do it. And also, if I'm miserably failing at it in secret, I'm not going to admit that to anybody until you're just a puddle on the floor and completely a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Have you guys felt like you've gotten better at asking for help?
I have.
I'm learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning. It's tough. It's tough. I like to control things. So to give it up, especially to do with my kid, it's really hard.
But don't you think, like, for example, if I would have been invited to a thing that I didn't really want to go to before or whatever it is, it's so much easier for me to say, you know, thank you so much for thinking about me. But I'm going to say yes to being with my daughter because I need to say yes to that right now.
Yeah.
You know, but think of so-and-so. I'm so much better at saying no than I was before because it's like so easy. It's like, oh. No, that's not worth it. You know, not worth it. Whereas before I was just doing so many things, like thinking that, you know, hustling and like, you know, ripping myself into pieces to be there for other people when now it's like, no, there's someone there that's, you know, anchoring and then aligning myself with myself. It's weird. It's like, it's again about myself. Not that I'm like selfish, but I think that it is, you know. About oneself, really.
You're doing it for your daughter.
Yeah.
And yourself.
Yeah.
What would you give any advice to moms struggling with their self-confidence as being a mom? What would you say?
The moms, the thing about the moms, I feel, is the more moms I talk to or the more moms I spend time with, because it can be very isolating. At first, I didn't have anyone really. My sister lives 3 hours away. She has 3 kids, but I didn't have... except for one friend, and she goes to a mommy group. I wasn't going to any of that, and I was starting to feel very isolated. And as soon as I started to tap into these, you know, mommy, at least like at the park, just talking to them or whatever, opening up about the issues, And saying, hey, like, can we go for lunch? Or at church, I was like, oh, hey, you know, what about, what's your daughter? So that for me has opened up a lot more of like taking away the shame and the guilt, because then I see that they're struggling with similar things, or because then I was like, oh no, I'm the only one that has these sleeping issues, or I'm the only one that whatever it is. So for me, is like having that real community. Not online, a real community of real people.
Yeah, online is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't like online.
You know, I really, we talk about this a lot on Katie's Crib, but how important like a mom crew is, and how we can find, how I think moms doing this alone is never a good idea, especially pregnancy, especially right after you've had a baby. But honestly, I think throughout the whole fucking thing, like it's just so important to have moms you can text with, phone call, Facebook with, whatever that is, whether they're family members, friends at work. Like you said, I think there's also nothing that connects people more. Like if you go up to a mom in the park, a total stranger, and like introduce yourself and start talking about your children, it's like a great equalizer.
Yeah.
Do you feel weird doing that because you're on a TV show? Because I feel like the thing that sometimes I wish that we were never seen on a show, because I feel like I would be more willing to do that.
And if you were not, you are in a very extenuating circumstance.
Yeah. So it's I would love to go up to like another mom a park, but I wonder if, you know, she watches the show, and then it's like,
and then she's gonna,
and then it's like, it's hard.
For me, for example, the other day, this just happened like 2 days ago, and it's fresh in my memory, but I was getting a juice, and I saw like a woman turn around, and she had like a blank stare of like, and then I instantly was like, oh, what are you doing here? Your daughter, blah, blah. And suddenly I became a person. I wasn't Laurel on the show anymore, because I was asking her about her daughter. And then she was like opening up about her things and forgot that I was on the show. Because I almost like hate, I can't do anything with being Laurel. Like I can't connect with someone if they think I'm Laurel, or if they think I'm an actress, or if they think. But I suddenly like quickly kind of like, you know, take that away and become a human.
Yeah,
in, you know, in a conversation with them, and I feel like I then am able to get, you know, more out of that interaction, rather than just being like, yeah, that's me, okay, bye, because then I just feel like I've been objectified.
Yep.
Yeah, you know? I need to get better at that. I think that I'm naturally antisocial anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you in any baby classes, things like that? Did you do that stuff?
We'd have like a parent and me that we go to.
Great.
Yeah.
Really fast. What are some of the best parenting advice you've received? Anything?
Oh my God, I feel like there's been so much.
Any, how about the worst? Something you would never tell someone. Or any advice that you would wish to give?
I think breastfeeding for me, I did get a lot of like, you really should be breastfeeding until A, B, C, D, F month, a month, whatever it was. And so I think that for women out there that are struggling with breastfeeding, or for whatever reason, if you want to stop, like, it's really a personal decision.
And here to that.
The guilt about the breastfeeding thing. Because I definitely felt really bad about it at one point. And it was like a friend of mine that had like sort of made me feel guilty about it.
Shame. I felt so guilty for having had the epidural, because I went through 32 hours of not, you know, because I am like, you know, a warrior, and I have to, and I had such a huge sort of expectation of being able to birth my child with like not, you know, nothing. And I felt a lot of shame. Remember my OB came in, and they had just put the epidural after because I started having convulsions because my body was not relaxing. And they were like, there's no way you're going to have, like, you have to have the epidural. And I was just like, you know, so they finally put the epidural at like 33 hours of excruciating, like vomiting, like all this pain.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And I remember thinking, I am such a failure. Like, I am. And my OB walked in and I was like, I failed. And I was asking for my husband's forgiveness, for my OB's forgiveness.
Oh my God,
can you imagine?
Really?
She came and she started just kind of
Carla.
Like, so it was such a process for me.
Oh my God. I was like, I failed. Like, no.
And
way.
Then one of my best friends also had that experience. And I hate that we have all these things that make
it's
us like
welcome
less
to
than.
Motherhood. It's going to be the first of 50 billion times you feel like you failed.
Yeah.
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 This was so, I've been dreaming about speaking to you ladies about motherhood and how it's all going.
I've been texting you. Like, I remember I was like, how did you do this? Tell me. And then you were in Broadway. That's
and then I left you. I'm so sorry.
No, but
I'm
back
now. Yeah. And what's great is that Camilla's the leader. She is the oldest, then me, and then it's Carla. So let's just get on a text chain.
Yeah. Okay, I
love
that.
Let's just all figure out what the fuck we're doing together. Thank you guys so much for being on Katie's
Thank
Crib.
You.
If you guys think of anything else to add, we can add it to the
Dr.
Crib.
Dr. Shefali has to be added.
I did a whole. Oh yeah,
I know.
She's amazing.
I listened to your podcast, but I think you know if anyone didn't listen to that, they should listen to that.
Thanks.
Interview.
It's okay, it's a good podcast. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being on, spending the time, for being such inspirational, amazing moms for me to look up to. And no, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening and for your amazing feedback and tweets and messages and reviews and sharing Katie's Crib with your friends and your family. It means so, so much to me. So please keep it coming and check us out on shondaland.com. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.